Mishnah 2. And we're discussing a very important concept of peace in the country. And this is something which we Jews pray every week. People don't realize it. We pray every week, every Shabbat. We pray for peace of the country. So, wherever Jews are around the world, they're praying for the country they're living in. And the reason why we do that is there's an important concept which is called Dina de Malchuta Dina. The law of the country is the land, is the law. So wherever you live, we have to abide by the laws. We have to be legal citizens of the country. It's a very, very important concept. The Jews have to be legal citizens. It's a concept of Jewish law. In Jewish law, you have to be a legal abiding citizen of the country. And not only that, but we pray for the welfare of the country. And we pray for the welfare of the police. And we pray for the welfare of the authorities. Because we have a very, very important rule over here. This is Rabbi Hanina Sgan HaKohanim. Rabbi Hanina was an assistant of the high priest in the time of the Second Temple. And he witnessed the actual desecration of the temple, the destruction of the Second Temple. So this is Rabbi Hanina Sgan HaKohanim. In those days, the Romans would sell the high priesthood to the highest bidder. Imagine, every year they would sell, who wants to be high priest? Pay me $20,000, you'll be high priest. And those high priests were all fakes. They were not real solid people who were Yirei Shamayim. They never had fear of God. And therefore, they would tie their legs with a chain. Every year they would walk in on Yom Kippur, and they wouldn't come out alive. They would not come out alive every year. So what happened was, they got wise, and they said, you know what, we're not going in anymore. The assistant will go in. And there was Hanina Sgan HaKohanim, he would go in. He would serve every year in the high as the high priest, as an assistant high priest, who would take over in the temple every year. So he says, Heve mitpalel b'shloma shel machut. Make sure you pray for the peace of the country you are in. You want peace in the country. Because without peace, im ein shalom, Rashi says, there is nothing. A person has nothing without peace. A person cannot live, as we know in Israel. And the Gaza periphery, every day there's rockets and there's mortars and there's sirens, and every day you can't live like that. You can't live like that. Every night you're woken up and you take your children into the safe room, you got to run with them, and it's crazy. So a person's got to pray for the peace of the country you live in. Just like now we know with the what happened in Pittsburgh. We know we have to pray very, very, very powerfully. We have to pray for peace in the country. We have to pray for the success of the authorities to track down all these murderers and track down all these people. And we have to pray for that there's no forest fires and there's no floods, and there's something which we have to pray for. So an interesting point in Jewish law, this is ethics. Part of the ethics is to pray for the country you're living in. So already in those days, Jews lived, most of the Jews in the world in the Second Temple period lived outside Israel. Unfortunately, it was a tragedy. Most of the Jews lived in Iraq, in Persia, lived in other countries outside Israel. So he's telling them, everyone, pray for the country you're living in. Because without peace in the country, it says one man will eat up his neighbor alive. In other words, without the authorities, without police in the country, and without peace in the country, anarchy. There's a state of anarchy and no one will be able to operate. So it's very important to pray for the peace and welfare of the authorities of the country. Very, very important. Okay, so that's let's just finish off. Why? Shil male morav. If it wasn't for the fear of the authorities, ish et re'ehu chayim bela'o, a man would swallow up his neighbor alive. Imagine. Can't imagine. You know, I was learning the Mishnah in Brachot. The Mishnah in Brachot says that when you go into a town, you've got to say a prayer. When you leave the town, you've got to say a prayer. People don't realize that. When you go into a town, you don't know who these people are. They don't know who you are. They'll cut you off. They'll kill you. You don't know what's going to happen. There was no law and order. So we take law and order for granted. We're lucky. We have police down the road. Police cars all over the place. It's very, very important. If it wasn't for the police, it wasn't for the authorities, a person would swallow up their neighbor. Look at their language. Swallow up the neighbor alive. Hard to imagine. Rabbi Hananiah ben Tradion Amen. Rabbi Hananiah ben Tradion was one of the 10 great rabbis who were killed by the Romans. He was in the time of Rabbi Akiva. And he's one of the 10 great rabbis, including Rabbi Akiva. His daughter, Bruria. Everyone knows about Bruria because there's a school named after her. His daughter, Bruria, married Rabbi Meir Balanes. So Hanina ben Tradion's daughter married Bruria. Her name was Bruria. She married Rabbi Meir Balanes. So Hanina ben Tradion says the Romans wrapped him in a Sefer Torah and they burnt him alive. Imagine, wrapped him in a Sefer Torah and they burnt him alive. Because he was teaching Torah. So he says, Shnaim shoshvim ve'em b'neim divrei Torah. If two people are sitting down, two Jews are sitting down, and they're not learning Torah, that's called a moshav leitzim. That's called a group of scorners. That's the first line in Tehillim, in Psalms. Foshlema. So, it says, the first line of Psalms, Psalm 1, right? Psalm 1. What is Psalm 1? Ashrei ha'ish asher lo alach. Praise is the person who did not go. Ba'atzad reshaim, in the advice of the wicked. Uvderech hatayim lo amad. Did not stand in the place of sinners. Moshav leitzim lo yashav. And did not sit in a place of scorners. What is a scorners? A comedy club. You go to a comedy club, they're making a mockery of everyone. They make a mockery of everyone and they make a mockery of everything. It's very funny because they're making a mockery. But what happens is, nothing is serious. Life becomes one big joke. And we don't realize, but life is a very serious business. Why? Because life is, we're in a passageway to the next world. If we mess up in the passageway, we're not going to get to the next world. Very simple. Life is a journey. It's a journey of life. It's called the journey of life. And it's very important not to take the wrong directions in the journey. Take the wrong direction, it's going to be like a snowstorm. It takes 2 hours to get somewhere instead of 20 minutes. So it's very important to take the right steps. So two people, he says, who are sitting down and they're not learning Torah. This is a group of scorners. What is a group of scorners? So not just a comedy club. A comedy club is definitely a scorners. But not just a comedy club. He's saying even if two Jews sit together not learning Torah, if they're not learning Torah, not speaking words of Torah, what are they doing? That's it, making a mockery. It's a mockery of God. Because when Jews get together, we have to say some kind of words of Torah. Shneimar, it says in the first Psalm of Tehillim, Psalms, Moshav leitzim lo yashav. Praise is a person does not sit in a place of scorners. Aval shnayim sheyoshvim v'yesh b'neihem divrei Torah. If there are two people sitting down and they are learning Torah, Shechina b'neihem. Hashem's presence is between them. So Hashem's presence is in a holy community. What's a holy community? Where there is Torah. There is Torah being discussed. Hashem loves that. Hashem comes and listens what's going on. So it's very, very powerful. And it's always good to have a line in your head to say to other people. You meet someone, say a Devar Torah. Devar Torah. It says a person will remember you by the Devar Torah that you gave them. If you didn't give them a Devar Torah, they're not going to remember you. What's so special about this person? Ah, because I heard something from them. I remember something they taught me. That's the way a person should be remembered. Otherwise, it's a Moshev Leitzim. Shneema Az Nibiru Yirei Hashem Ish Areu V'Yakshev Hashem V'Yishma. So if two people who have fear of God, and they're talking Devarei Torah, Hashem is listening over there. Hashem comes to listen. And so Pasuk in Malachi, chapter 3. V'Katev Sefer Zekon Lepanav Yirei Hashem Hashem. Hashem puts in his diary those that mention his name. Okay, so obviously two is the minimum, but the more they learn Torah, the better, like we're doing now, the more the better. And Hashem gives them reward. And so everything, every word you get of learning Torah is tremendous reward. Tremendous reward of learning Torah. And now we come to Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says, so this is Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai was one of the great rabbis, students of Rabbi Akiva. He wrote the Zohar, very, very famous. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, and he's buried in Meron. You go to Meron today, you'll find his kever of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and his son, Rabbi Elazar. They're buried together next to each other. Rabbi Shimon says, Shlosha she'achlu al shulchan echad. If three Jews ate together on one table, ve'lo amru alav divrei Torah, and they didn't say divrei Torah, they didn't say words of Torah, kilu achlu mezivchei mitim, as if they ate from idolatry. As if the table is a table of idolatry. So it's very important when you're eating a meal to say Divrei Torah. I had a friend of mine in yeshiva, when I was in yeshiva, his Divrei Torah was to say this Mishnah. If three people sit down, they don't say Divrei Torah, it's as if they're eating from idolatry. So that was his Mishnah. That was his Divrei Torah at the table. Thanks a lot. So Say something more positive.
Right.
Say something more positive. Shema. Okay. Yeah. It depends what you do. You got to say, you have to say, like, Shira Malot, sing something, say some psalms, that's the Torah. The benching is after the meal. I'm talking about during the meal itself. So it's going to be just before the benching. So whatever you do before the benching, some people say the Shira Malot, it's good to do. It's very good to say some psalm over there.
Excuse me, Rav, that's why it's good to say Simirot?
Yes, sing it also, like a Dvar Torah. And, but you got to understand what it says. You know, the songs, people don't understand what the songs. A lot of the songs are Musar. They're giving, telling us about God, they're praising God, right. They're giving us ethics. And some songs even give us some halachot, laws about Shabbat. It's good to know the meaning. We should have a class on the meaning of the songs. Very, 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 very beautiful songs. The songs we sing, they have deep meanings. Some of them are very Kabbalistic. Some of the songs we sing, especially Sephardim, we sing some songs, are very, very Kabbalistic songs. So it's good to know these songs, because they are Divrei Torah. They're Divrei Torah. Rabbi Shimon says, oh, we talked about that. Okay, so three people eating. It's very important to say Divrei Torah when people are eating. Because when you eat on a table and you say Divrei Torah, it's like a mizbeach. We talked about this yesterday. We talked about not putting knives on the altar. Where's the altar today? Our mizbeach is our table. When a person eats a food, they're offering the food to God. Why? Because they're using the food for energy, and they're using the energy to serve God. So food becomes elevated to serve God. Ideally, we're talking about when you're eating a meal which is bread.
Right, okay.
Bread, otherwise it's like a snack. Without bread, you're not really sitting at a table, just snacking. Right? But a person who eats bread, it's very, very... The Ben Ish Chai has a whole bunch of things to say. I mean, you'd be 2 hours at the table, just for saying the Divrei Torah. So it's very important to say Divrei Torah, especially, why? Because it elevates the food. Because the whole point of eating, so we didn't make brachot. Brachot elevates the food. But some foods need more elevation. For example, meat. Meat is very, very hard to elevate. Meat, why? Because it's an animal. An animal is animal. It's literally an animal, a beast. You have to take that meat of the beast and elevate the meat. So it's a very high process. So a person likes to have steak. You've got to make sure you know what the kavanot. You have to know what you're doing because it's much harder to elevate it. Vegetables, much easier to elevate. But meat is very, very hard to elevate. Person's going to have very holy thoughts.
Poultry is less.
But it's still a life. So you have to elevate the poultry as well. Fish is the easier, but vegetables are the easiest. So it goes in order. So first the vegetables are the easiest.
Fish is the easiest.
The vegetables are the easiest, and then the fish, and then the chicken, and then the meat.
Yeah, right.
In that order.
Yeah.
So person's going to have a steak. Better watch out. And you're going to have a burger. You got to watch out. You got to have good kavanot. I'm going to use this strength. I need this strength to serve God. I'm going to use this strength to serve God. And so you have special bracha. Make sure you have kavanah in your bracha. Because the bracha is going to fix the sparks in the food. What everything we have, there's spirituality in everything in the world. Suppose we're going to be careful. Say Divrei Torah. Just to learn. To say some words of Tehillim. Say something. Rabbi Hanania ben Hakinai. He was one of the students of Rabbi Akiva. Okay, so Rabbi Hanania ben Hakinai. He's the one who talks about learning Kabbalah. Rabbi Hanania ben Hakinai. Rabbi Hanania ben Hakinai says, Haneor Balaila. Look at this. A person who's awake at night. He's wasting time. Wasting time at night. Night was made for learning Torah. Night was made for learning Torah. It's good to learn Torah at night to have some bedtime reading. But before you go to sleep, read a book of Musar. I used to read Even Shlema. Even Shlema of the Vilna Gaon. Very, very small book. You get it? In English, Even Shlema. It's called Even Shlema, book of Musar by the Vilna Gaon. It's like this size. Pocketbook. And you open it before you go to sleep and you read two lines. That's it. Two lines. And it percolates in your head when you're sleeping. Very, very important. Person should learn Torah before you go to sleep. How? It doesn't say how much to learn. Just learn a bit. Learn something. Don't waste the night. The whole night should be wasted. This way a person is learning of the day and learning at night. So it's very good to learn Torah at night. So a person who's awake at night, and a person is walking down the street, and he has nothing to think about. His mind is thinking about garbage. He said he's liable to death penalty. He's wasting his time. Why? Because wasting time is death. Because time is life. People don't realize that. Time is life. It's so hard to be productive every second. It's very hard to be productive. How can you be productive? I'm walking down the street. So say Shema. The Shema says, when you're walking down the street, say Shema. It's very easy. The person knows Shema. Everyone knows Shema by heart. What do you know by heart? You know Ashrei by heart. Say Ashrei. You know, what do you know by heart? Mizmor David, Psalm 23. Say in English. Just don't waste your time. Just have something in mind. I found one of the biggest techniques for going past these traffic lights in Highland Park. Because I always get stopped at a traffic light. Red light. Where you can drive all the way to Brooklyn and come back and no traffic lights. Over here, you get Highland Park, in traffic lights. So what do you do? The answer is say something. Right. Say Shema. And you find the light changes faster. All of a sudden, the light changes faster. But don't waste the time. Don't waste the time. Always try and say something. Say something. Think something. Think some holy thoughts. What you're going to do for Shabbat. What you're going to prepare. These are holy thoughts. But don't waste the time. So we're talking about when you're journeying. So today it's very easy. You have a car. You put the CD. You're listening to a Torah tape. It's very easy today. Today is much easier than ever before. I have a Tehillim in my car. I put on the car. Tehillim comes on. Automatically. It comes on. So it's fantastic. Today it's very easy to have. You're surrounded by Torah. That's the idea, to be surrounded by Torah. 24 hours a day surrounded by Torah. So that's the idea. Don't leave a second vacant. Very important to have time vacant. Obviously, you got to do what you need to do. And then after you need to do what you need to do, try and fill your life with Torah. He was also in the generation, he was a generation before Rabbi Akiva. The generation of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai and Rabbi Yishmael. And he had a very, very long life. And his students said, Rabbi, how did you deserve such a long life? How do you live so long? What was the merit? What merits did you have that you lived so long? That's something we can have to imitate as well. Number one, he says, I never got honor from someone else's shame. I never got honor from someone else's shame. What does that mean? That means people say, he's wrong and you're right. So no. I may be right, but don't say he's wrong. I don't get honor from his shame. So in my lifetime, I never got honor from his shame. That's number one. Number two, I never took my friend's curses to bed with me. What does that mean? Someone cursed him. Imagine, someone cursed this man, Rabbi Nechunya ben Hakana, and he never took it to bed. What do you mean, never took it to bed? He never kept the curses in his head. He never bore a grudge. Imagine. Rabbi Nechunya ben Hakana never bore a grudge. One of the signs of long life, one of the things for long life, never bear a grudge. Never take a grudge to bed with you. What does that mean? Forgive and forget. So imagine. How many people live this life every day and they say, you know what? Whatever the guy says, I don't care. It's between God is looking after me. I don't bear grudges. That's a very powerful thought and a very powerful technique to live a long life. Why? Because a person who bears grudges, high blood pressure, anger, can't sleep at night. Thank you so much. Thank you. I lost my cup of tea. And I got my cup of tea back. Thank you so much. I said a brach already. Wow. Big mitzvah. So number one is, what's number one? I never had honor from my neighbor's shame. Number two, I never took my neighbor's curse with me to bed. What does that mean? I forgave before I went to sleep. I forgave everyone before I went to sleep.
How can you forgive something that comes back and regenerates itself?
It depends. So if you, in your mind, if you have closure, you have to close something off in your mind.
It's coming back.
And it comes back, you do it again. It comes back, you do it again. Have to do it. Like a mosquito. What do you do when a mosquito comes back? You push it away again. Keep again.
It bites you again.
That's what life's all about. Life is all about. It's a pain. Life is a pain. I'll tell you. Some people are nudniks. You know what nudnik is? Nudnik. Come back and they pester you and they bother you and then you go away and they come back and they go. Every day is a. So that's why every night before you go to bed, you forgive them again. Again, I forgive them. That was the fiddle on the roof, right? What is the blessing on the Tsar? Hashem, bless and keep the Tsar far away from us. So you have someone you don't want to see. Hashem, bless them, but keep them away from me. Just bless them, keep away from me. And number three, he says, look at this. Vatran b'mamoni hayiti. I was easy going with my money. That's so hard to do. Hard to do. Be easy going with your money. I shouldn't be saying this to wives. Women, don't be so easy going. Don't be so easy going. It's hard earned money. Don't keep buying shoes. Yes. Three things for long life. Let's recap. Number one, don't have honor from other people's shame. You know, in your heart, you feel, I feel so good. You know, I got the right answer right, and the other guy got the answer wrong, and I feel so good about myself. Don't feel good at someone else's expense. Oh, that guy is such a klutz. I look so good. You know, I want to take this guy with me because he's such a klutz, and this way I look good. No, I'm having honor from his shame. Don't be like that. Don't rejoice when someone else, something bad happens to someone else. It's very easy to rejoice, but says, you know what? That guy's a cold. I don't have a cold. He has a cold. He's sneezing away. He looks. No, don't rejoice at other people's pain. So pray for him. Says, whenever an ambulance goes by with the sirens, always pray for the person inside. Hashem should heal that person. Most people, they curse. They say, look, ambulance, I got to stop my car. Ambulance, has to go. What about the guy inside? Think about that. It's a guy inside. God's going to bless the guy inside. Should he have healthy, be healthy and recover? That's number one. Number two, don't go to sleep before forgiving and forgetting. Don't go to sleep. Why? Because then your blood pressure will go down. And you'll be easygoing, you'll learn how to deal with people, you'll be able to sleep at night. Well, that person can't sleep at night. It's so hard. Some people get under your skin and they don't let you sleep. They're not suffering, you're suffering. So what are you doing it for? So forgive and forget, try and forgive and forget before you go to sleep. And number three, be easygoing. Don't think, yeah, this guy took this money from me, and this guy took money from me, and this guy took money. Go to sleep already. Just give up. So otherwise, these things ruin a person's life. He lived a long time, can you imagine? He would also pray when he went into the Beit HaMidrash. When he went into the house of learning, we have a little over here, a little paragraph on the wall. It's in Hebrew over here. It's a paragraph to say before you start learning Torah. That a person should never make mistakes in their learning. Sometimes a person learns things and they do the wrong thing. They learn the wrong thing. They make a mistake. The rabbi says something and they misunderstand the rabbi. And then they say, the rabbi said this. The rabbi didn't say that. They misunderstood. So a person's got to pray, Hashem, I don't want to make mistakes, especially a rabbi. I got to say this prayer. I don't make mistakes, especially in halakha. People come to me and ask me questions. I'm going to make a mistake. It's going to be a terrible thing. And number two is when you leave the Beit HaMidrash, say, thank you, Hashem. You gave me a portion of the Beit HaMidrash. Thank you, Hashem. So he authored the prayer. He authored the prayer on the wall, the prayer before you go in. Hashem, don't make late mistakes. Let my friends be happy with me. And the prayer, thank you, Hashem, when I leave the Beit HaMidrash, you gave me my portion inside the Beit HaMidrash. So that's not Rabbi Nechunya ben Hakana. So what does he say? Kol ha-mikabel alav ol Torah. If you really accept upon yourself the yoke of the Torah, the person says, you know what, I just want to learn Torah. All I want to do all day is learn Torah. Hashem says, I'm going to remove from you all other burdens somehow. Somehow I'm going to remove from you all the other burdens. So guys sitting in the kola, that's what they want to do. They want to sit and they learn Torah all day. Really, if they really want to do it, Hashem will make them find a way. A way will be found for them. B'chola porek menu ol Torah, a person who removes from themselves the yoke of the Torah, Hashem says, I'll give you other yokes. I'll put the burden of finding, getting a living. I'll put the burden of the government on you. So very rough. So that's what he says. He says, listen, I tried these things. I tried this from my own experience. If you really want to learn Torah, Hashem says, I'll remove all other burdens from your head. Right? Like Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu accepted the yoke of Torah. Hashem removed all the burdens. And how did Moshe Rabbeinu become very rich? How did Moshe Rabbeinu become very rich? Guys, come on. From the Luchot. When he made the tablets out of sapphire. Hashem says, here, you take the pieces. You keep the pieces. He became very, very rich. Sapphire, got chunks of sapphire. So you can imagine. Amazing. So a person wants to accept the Torah, Hashem says, I'll give you, I'll bless you, I'll I'll find your vehicles. I'll find your vehicle. I've seen this in life. It's amazing. Hashem has many, many messengers. Harbe shluchim l'makom. Hashem has many messengers. Sometimes this messenger won't give you, and this messenger won't help you. All of a sudden, another messenger comes from the blue. Usually it's guys you don't think of being messengers. They're the messengers of God. Hashem sends many messengers. Where do we find this? Look at Eliyahu Navi. Eliyahu Navi was starving. He ran away from the king and the queen. They want to kill him. Ahab and Isabel. He runs away to the desert. And he's over there. He says, Hashem, kill me. What happens? Hashem sends crows. Ravens. With food in their mouths. From the king's table. Glatt kosher. From the king's table. The king of Judah. Bringing food from the king's table. Can you imagine? The king made a feast. And the ravens are coming, taking the food. Can you imagine? He doesn't know where they're going. They're going to Elisha. They fly all the way to Beersheba. And drop the food for Eliyahu Navi. Glatt kosher here. Hashem says, here's your dinner. What are you complaining about? Eliyahu Navi, what are you complaining about? Why do you want to die so fast? Yeah, take your food. Yeah, you have from the king's table. Cordon bleu, you get fresh, best cooking. 5-star cooking. So Hashem has many messengers. A person's going to think Hashem has many messengers. And sometimes the person's really down to the last. I know rabbis who moved to Israel in 1948. My rabbi who got me married, Rabbi Abraham David, Alav HaShalom, used to tell me, he says, when I first came to Israel, I was learning in yeshiva. There were very few Jews learning in yeshiva at that time, 1948. And there was no money. I never had money. I would go home with nothing, starving. And I would go home and my wife would say, what's for dinner? And I had nothing. So just living on emunah, very little to eat, very little, this is hardly anything. In 1948 in Israel, it was like nothing. No one had any money. I said, when I went home, I said three things. El Emet, God is true. Moshe Emet, Moshe is true. V'Torah To Emet, and the Torah is true. I kept repeating to myself, God is true. Moshe is true, and the Torah is true. So what happens? There's so few rabbis in Israel. He was appointed the rabbi of an area, of a shchunah. Today it's Givat Shaul. Givat Shaul today is a very wealthy area. A lot of angel bakeries over there. You know, angel bread. Angel bakery is over there. And there's other big factories over there. And it's booming. The area is booming. He was the rabbi of the area. So eventually he made a lot of money. Baruch Hashem. He did very well. But the first early years were very, very tough. That's when a person has to have emunah. That Hashem will make everything work. And you're amazing. The whole of Israel is booming. It's just amazing. It's booming with bombs and it's booming with the economy. And it's booming, real, literally booming all the time. It's a shame. Okay, so that's Rabbi Nechunia ben Hakana. Number one, accept the Torah. When you accept the Torah, everything else will move away from you. If you push aside the Torah, all the other burdens will come. So sometimes it's better. There are many burdens in life. We have to choose our burden. Hashem says, you choose your burden. You choose the burden of Torah. Look, two great rabbis. Look at this. Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva was in jail. Why did they put Rabbi Akiva in jail? Because he was teaching Torah in public. The Romans put him in jail. Who's in jail with him? His nephew. His nephew's name was Pappus. I don't know how he got his nephew Pappus. Pappus was very, very wealthy. And he says, Pappus, why are you in jail? He says, praise that you, Rabbi Akiva. They put you in jail for a good reason, for teaching Torah. Woe to me, they put me in jail for cheating the taxes. They put you in jail for teaching Torah. What merit you have. They put me in jail for cheating taxes. We're both in jail. But look at the reasons why we're in jail. So praise to you and woe to me. So the same thing. In other words, we choose our burdens in life. We choose our burdens. Everyone's going to have troubles and everyone's going to have problems. So you can have a problem because you're learning Torah and you have no money. Or you can have a problem because the IRS is going after the person. Bar Minan. The person should never know what it's like. Anyway, we're moving on to Mishnah Vav. Rabbi Chalafta. Ah, who is Rabbi Chalafta? Rabbi Chalafta. He was a student of Meir Balanes. And he used to live in a place called Kfar Hanania. Kfar Hanania was in the Galilee, in the Galil. Most of the rabbis lived in the Galilee at that time. Why? Because the Romans had destroyed everything else. There were three parts to Israel. There was the Galil, there was Yehuda, which is in the south, which is Yerushalayim, Beersheba, that area, and there's Ever HaYarden. Ever HaYarden was the east side of the Jordan, where Jordan is now, Transjordan. That was part of Israel, under the Romans. Imagine. There were three parts of Israel, the Galil, Yehuda, and Transjordan. And the revolts in Judah and Transjordan, the Romans came and smashed everything. The only place that survived was the Galil. Why did it survive? Because the general of the Galil under Bar Kokhba was a guy called Josephus. Have you heard of Josephus? And he surrendered to the Romans without a fight. And that's why the Galil still lasted, preserved. It's not true. He did fight. And they beat him and he surrendered. So the rest of the Galil was left alone. The Romans left the Galil alone. So most of the rabbis at that time lived in the Galil, because that's the only part of Israel which survived. The only part of Israel survived. So Rabbi Halafta lived in the Kfar Hananya. And what does he say? Asarash Yoshvim Voskim Torah Shekhinah Shu Rabbanim. The 10 people are sitting down and learning Torah. The Shekhinah, God's presence is there. And even if there's 5 people, God's presence is there. And even if there's 2 people, God's presence is there. And even if there's 1 person, God's presence is there. So we see over here that learning Torah is special. Hashem attracts spirituality. When a person is learning Torah, the Torah itself is God talking to you. When I pray, I'm talking to God. When I learn Torah, Hashem is talking to me. How is Hashem talking to you? Hashem spoke to Moshe. It's always in the Torah. Hashem is talking to you. We have to learn the lessons from the Torah. When a person learns Torah, Hashem is talking to us. We have to learn the lessons of the Torah. We're moving on to Mishnah Zayin. Rabbi Laza ish Bartota Omer. Rabbi Laza came from Bartota. He was Rabbi Laza ben Yehuda. He was a student of Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananiah and a friend of Rabbi Akiva. So this rabbi is a rabbi, friend of Rabbi Akiva. He says, 10 lo mishelo. You know, when it comes to giving to God, sometimes you say, why should I give to God? What do you mean give to God? Number one is your Kiddush table, your Shabbat table. The person prepares for Shabbat, you're preparing for God, because God says keep Shabbat. When you send your kid to yeshiva, you're paying for God. You're paying God. Why? Because it's God wants him to learn Torah. When you are learning Torah, you have to pay for yourself. You pay membership in a shul. You're giving to God. He says, when it comes to give to God, think as if you're giving it to him, his own money. Because everything you have is God's. So when you're giving for a holy cause, you're giving from him to himself. You're giving to himself from his own money. Sheata v'shelach shelo. You and what you have belongs to God. Hard to think like that. Person's got to think, whatever I have is Hashem's. I myself belong to Hashem. We're all Hashem's. So when I'm giving, it's not giving. I'm giving him what belongs to him already. It's not like I'm giving mine to him. It's not mine. It's his anyway. And the fact is, he can take whatever he wants. Anytime he wants, he's going to take it. So a person thinks, I'm giving, it's from me to someone else. No, it's from Hashem, it's taking to his own. So we're just the managers. A person's going to think, I'm the manager. I'm the manager of my property. It doesn't belong to me, I'm just the manager. Hashem gave me this property, and I have to manage the property for Hashem. As David HaMelech says in Devar Yamim, from you is everything, and I give it back to you. Everything comes from you, and you get it back. I'm giving it back to you. So it's very important to realize this. It's very hard to, this is a very deep statement. That everything we have is from God, and when you're giving God what belongs to him. I'm giving God. I'm so generous. Hey, Hashem, take. This is for you. I'm giving staka for you, Hashem. It's not for you. It's not yours. It's Hashem. You're giving Hashem for what belongs to him already. It's hard to think like that. But it says, but I work so hard for my money. It's not your money. You work so hard for Hashem's money. Hashem can give you money whether you work hard or not work hard. I've seen people who don't work hard and they get money. And I've seen people who work hard and don't get any money. I've seen everything. You see it in life. Some people work so hard and they're poor. Some people can work very little and they're very rich. It's all bracha from God. So So whatever person has, the person will say, it's God's money. It's God's money. So it belongs to him already. So give him what belongs to him. You're giving him for a mitzvah. It's expensive. You buy a lulav. I just got the bill. It's expensive. When you have a family and buy 3-4 lulavim, it's hundreds of dollars already. Hundreds of dollars. So a person's got to think, it belongs to God. I'm not giving from my own. It's Hashem's money anyway. Give it. So it's hard when you're living on a very low level and then you have to give big money to buy a lulav and buy an etrog and buy a hanukkiah and buy the oil. You know, they sell you these little bottles of little things of oil. They're very expensive, like $40, $50 for one, for a pack. You can buy a bottle for $10 and get all these things for. So some people can't afford those things. It's a lot of money. The truth is, you don't have to buy those things. You can buy the little things and fill up the oil. It's much cheaper. But so it's expensive. But a person's got to think, I'm not giving God from mine. It's already his. I'm giving God from what belongs to him already. That's a very different perspective in life. It's a mind change. It really is a tremendous change of perspective. So it's a very deep statement. Rabbi Lazar Ish Bar Tota. Can you imagine? He made this town very famous. Bar Tota place. I never heard of it. Rabbi Lazar from Bar Tota says, give it to him. Because whatever it is, it's his already. It's amazing. Amazing. Give it to him because it's his. So a person thinks, you know, I'm giving him, it's mine. No, it's not yours. Give it to him. And the rabbis say that he fulfilled this with his own money. He gave his own money from his own back. He gave everything he had to the tzedakah. It says when the charity collectors came, they tried to avoid him. Because they knew he was giving everything away. He gives everything away. They run away from him. Imagine. Today the charity collectors will not run away from anyone. They'll come and they'll take everything the guy has. They don't know how. You're not allowed to. Not allowed to. You know a guy's very generous. You're not allowed to go and squeeze him. He'll give you everything. No, you're not allowed to. He won't have any money. So they would hide from him. These charity collectors were hachamim. They were real tzaddikim. They would hide from the man. And what happened one day? They came and he then didn't come to his house. He runs after them. Tell me what's going on. Why are you avoiding me? I want to give you money. What do you want? What do you need? So he was saving for his daughter's wedding. Imagine, think about it. He had all the wheat in the barn, ready to sell the harvest. And the charity collectors came to town and they avoided him because they know he's going to give them everything. So he runs after them and he gives them everything he had, he gave them. And his daughter thought, what's going to happen? What's going to happen to her wedding? He gave all the food away. He gave everything away. He says, I have a few coins left. Let me see what I can go to the market and buy some coins. He buys some straw and he puts it in the barn. And Hashem made a big miracle for him. The next day they heard the barn is creaking away. It says the straw is bursting from the roof. So, a miracle happened for him. This is the man. Rabbi Lazar Ba'ish Bar Tota, he fulfilled exactly what he said. Everything is God's. Everything I have is from God. Who gave you your house? Who gave you your clothes? Who gave you your shoes? Who gave you everything? Hashem, he says. So, you're just giving Hashem back what belongs to him. Everything's from God. It's all given to us as a trust. Hashem gave us everything we have, and now our job is to how to give it away. We are the managers of how to give it. So obviously there's priorities. Interesting. When it comes to charity, there's priorities. Priority is your relatives come first. Relatives come first in tzedakah. You know that? A person has a poor brother. His poor brother comes first. Before he gives anyone else. Number one is the machlokas Sfaradim Ashkenazim. Ashkenazim say your parents come first. Sfaradim say no, your children come first. Because I brought my children to the world. I have responsibility for them more than my parents. Why? I didn't bring my parents into the world. They brought me into the world. They have responsibility for me. My children come first. A person's got to support their children first. You want to give tzedakah, first come your children. Ashkenazim say no, first come parents. Kibud avim. A person's got parents who are elderly. Today, we're all in that same boat. Our parents are elderly. And our children also want. This is why they're pulled in both directions. They're pulled from the top and the bottom. So who comes first? And the Sfarim say children come first. Children and then parents. And then brothers and sisters. And other relatives. But that's only if they need. If they don't need, it goes to the next. Your town comes first. And then the poor people of Israel come first. Better more than Brooklyn. You know, first question, where do you live? Brooklyn? Go to Brooklyn. I give here in town, I give in Israel. Israel is like your town. The rabbis made Israel like your town. And yeshivot come first, and hospitals come first, and orphans and widows come first. I was going to know the order of tzedakah. It's very, very important. But I'm not talking about giving $1 here, $1. I'm talking about you want to give tzedakah properly. You have a lot of money to give. You have to invest. You have to check. What's the first priority? What's the second priority? What's the third priority? What are the priorities in my life? There's so many orphans in Israel. It's terrible. A person can, or there's organizations that save unborn babies. For a few shekels, you can save a baby. Because there's abortion for the sake of money. They're married. They're scared to have a baby because it costs so much money. So you know what? Give them 1,000 shekels. There's organizations that do that. The social workers tell the organization, and the organization helps these people. So you can save a life. For a few shekels, you can save a life. There are restaurants in Israel that give for free food. Imagine. The poor man comes in, gets a table, gets waited on, the food is all paid for. Anyone can go in there and ask for food. Imagine. It's amazing. What a nice system. You don't feel like he doesn't feel like he's poor anymore. He just walks in there, sits down, and gets served on the house. So let's just finish off this Mishnah and we'll stop. So Rabbi Elazar Ish Bar Tota, give God, because everything belongs to God. Rabbi Shimon says, "Hamehalech b'derech shalem mafsik mitzvato v'omer mana ilan ze." The person is walking down the street and he's learning Mishnah, and he breaks in his Mishnah. And he says, "What a beautiful tree! What beautiful nature! Don't waste your time." He says, "You're learning Mishnah. You got to know that's the highest level of serving God. Don't lower your level of serving God by getting sidetracked." Rabbi Shimon Barichai. Okay, so let's finish over here. Just have an announcement that tonight we're having a special class, Igeret HaRamban. We're moving it from Monday nights to today at 5 o'clock. Today at 5 o'clock, we're moving Igeret HaRamban, the letter of the Ramban, very, very famous letter of the Ramban. Musar, for the whole family, men and women are invited. 5 o'clock today over here, right here, instead of Monday nights. We're going to have 5 o'clock on Sunday nights.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Thank you all for coming.